focus on what really matters, that thing grows. Because here's the fact. Whatever you focus on will be magnified in your life. Whatever you focus on will be magnified. If you want to focus on the negative aspects of life, and let me just say there's plenty of them. But if you want to focus on that, they'll just get bigger and you'll get more and more miserable. But if we can focus on what God has for us and the truth that he has for us, and we can stop focusing on the areas that we know that we need to deal with, and instead of focusing on them, deal with them and focus on God, things begin to grow in our life that are healthy and whole. And we see the biblical principles come to life inside of us, and we see the Bible actually become alive. Because we're applying God's word, not black and white on a page, not simply just an old textbook that some people think the Bible is, but we take the living word of God. Like when God speaks to us and we read his word and we put it into practice, there's life inside of us. And so this series is really about us taking a look at the things that maybe we've focused on too much and detoxing from them. And last week, Pastor Josh spoke. Didn't he do a great job? It's awesome. I was in Texas and just had a great time, but glad to be back with you today as we continue on with detox. So I just want to give you the working definition of detox. It's removal of toxic substances from a living organism. It's the removal of toxic substances from a living organism. Y'all ever had to detox from something that may not be the best for you? I mean, so often we think, well, yeah, that's the people that go to this clinic over here and they've really got issues and they need to detox. But the reality is that, well, there's probably with all of us been some things we'd need to detox from. Can anybody say coffee? Yeah. I'm just saying, I love coffee. I love coffee. I love the way it smells. I love the way it looks when you pull it up, pour it out the French press. I love when you French press it, the plume at the top. It's just beautiful and smells so good. Woo! Anybody else French press coffee and know what I'm talking about? You're a coffee snob. I love that stuff, but there have been times in my life when I've detoxed from coffee. Not now. I'm just saying, not now, but there have been times. I limit myself now. I just have two pots a day, and it's good. Not really. sometimes I have two pots, but not really. Actually, I don't know how much I have because the church, y'all like the church's coffee? Is that good coffee? Yeah, I'm going to mess y'all all up and y'all going to start going, this coffee nasty, because it comes from concentrate. But I was at the Brick House and I was at a reception and just drinking their coffee, and I drink my coffee black because all real people drink coffee black. That's how coffee is supposed to be drunk. And so I'm drinking it black. I'm like, this is really great coffee. And so I asked the owner, like, what is this? It is Douay Hebert. Well, that sounds fancy, lady. Well, it comes from a concentrate. I say that to say that I have a never-ending stream of coffee on demand. I just push a button and it freshly, hotly made in my cup. And it's so good. But I really just limit myself to two tumblers a day now. But there was a time when I would drink all day long. And I found out that's probably not healthy. Like my heart rate was up. I was constantly moving around like this more than normal. And so I'm like, I'm going to quit coffee. I'm just going to stop it. Cold turkey. No coffee. I had a raging headache, the double vision. Has anybody ever detoxed from caffeine? It was miserable. And I think that a lot of times when we think of detoxing, that's what we think of, pain and misery. And the reality is when we take unhealthy things out of our body, out of our life, out of our soul, out of our spirit, there's often pain associated with that. The fact is that we're three parts. We're body, we're soul, we're spirit. The first week was about detoxing spiritually and what that looks like. The second week, last week, Pastor Josh spoke on detoxing our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, those things like anger and and worry. Excuse me. Today I want to talk about detoxing our body. And I think many times we immediately go to, well, I got to give up the coffee. I'm going to stop eating junk food. I'm going to smoke less crack. But that's probably, you should on all of those. I'm just saying. We can have some fun this morning, right? Whew, Lord help me. Me on coffee. Where is Lisa? She's in the back. That's the problem. She's with my daughter, because at the end of service, I'm so excited we have baptism today, and my seven-year-old's getting baptized. She's back there somewhere. A bunch of kids are. The key scripture that we're looking at in detox is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, "Don't be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? Boy, that's such a good analogy. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, which is another word for the devil? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Wow, that's so big. That directly relates to what we're talking about today, us being the temple of the living God. And God has said, I'll live with them and walk among them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Look at that last line. What's it say? It's not the last line on yours. Sorry. It says, touch no unclean thing and I'll receive you. But we have to be aware of what we are touching in our life, what we're allowing to touch us. I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Look at this. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Let us purify ourselves. Here's the aspect of detox that we have to embrace, that there is a responsibility that we have to cleanse and purify ourselves from the things that contaminate. I think so often we get wrapped up in this so spiritualization of our walk with God that we just go, God, I'm just going to stay in your flow. And look, that's true. We should stay in the flow of God. We should be led by his Holy Spirit. We should not walk in our flesh. But the reality is that we live in a physical world, and it is easy for us to get hooked by things in this world. And what God calls us to do is to step away from those things. And there's a responsibility on us that we are called to purify ourselves. Let me say that is not an issue of forgiveness. I cannot bring forgiveness to myself. Jesus did that on the cross. I cannot purify myself from the penalty of sin, but I can get myself away from those things that are making me dirty, and I can get myself to the place, which is the foot of the cross, and say, God, I need your purification. Jesus, wash over me. That's what we're called to do. Let us purify ourselves. That's what it says. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates. In other words, take the junk in my life and get rid of it. Move it out. So today, I want to talk to you about our body and toxins. And I know that you're probably thinking, yeah, pastor's going to talk about like what I eat and like how much weight I need to lose. And I get it, because like I love resolutions, and I'm a person that makes resolutions. I made a resolution at the beginning of the year. I wanted to lose 15 pounds. And here it is, and it's October. I only have 20 to go. It's really good. Man, I'm trying hard. Something keeps me from... Y'all been there? Yeah. And it's okay. My doctor says I'm the perfect weight. I'm just 2 feet too short, so... here's what I want us to get, though. Like, how we treat our body will affect the other two aspects of who we are, our spirit and our soul. I can never shake, I guess because I grew up in a very... rigid home. It was a blessing. It was a good thing. And we were at church every time the doors were open, even when I was little bitty. And they would teach us this song, be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little ears what you hear. Be careful little hands what you do. Be careful little feet where you go. Does anybody else remember that song? So simple, yet so profound. Because what we see, what we listen to, what we do, where we go can have massive impacts on our soul and our spirit, can it? It's 1 Corinthians 15:33 that says, don't be deceived. That means it's easy to be deceived. And it says, bad company corrupts good morals. So if I'm constantly around people who are really, really far from God and really vile and foul, it is silly for me to think that's not going to affect me, because where I go, what I do, who I'm with, that can all affect my spirit and my soul, and it can contaminate and make it really hard to live out the purpose for which God created us. Can it? Absolutely it can. And so I want us to look at what some of those body toxins may be, but let's look at Romans chapter 7 first. In Romans chapter 7, and I love this, Romans chapter 8 is one of my favorite passages of scripture in the Bible. But Romans chapter 7, you should read both. But I love Romans chapter 7 because I just can relate to Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this. He says, I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Do you ever feel that way? Man, I want to do good, but like there's some evil that's keeping me from doing that. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. I think that so aptly describes so many of us. On the inside, my goodness, I delight in God. God, I want to do what pleases you. I want to be the best follower that you've ever had, Jesus. I just want to be somebody you're proud of. I have sincere desire for that. I imagine many of you here have that same desire. On the inside, you want to do the right thing at all times, regardless of how difficult it is, right? Come on, who wants to do the right thing on the inside? You're going, God, I want to do the right thing. But somehow we seem to mess that up. And Paul's saying, on the inside, I have this inner being. I want to delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body. So on the inside, I want to do the right thing. But like there is this war that is raging. So like deep down, I want to know God. I want to please God. I want to do things that make him proud. I want to be the best that I can be, not for me, but for him. But then my body messes everything up because I end up doing what I don't want to do. That's exactly what he says. He says, it's waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. I want to do good, but evil's right there with me. And there's this war. I want to do what's right on the inside. I really do, but I still do stupid stuff. I can raise both hands because that is like me. I can't tell you how many times I was told growing up, son, you need to learn how to shut up. You just need to learn how to be quiet because I didn't want to say the things that were coming out of my mouth. And the things that were coming out of my mouth were often very true. But like just because something is true doesn't mean that it needs to be said. And it probably shouldn't be said to a dad who was already mad at you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Well, what about this with you? Whack. Grew up old school. Have you ever experienced that battle? Man, I want to do what's right. But there's like this thing that keeps hooking me and bringing me back, and I hate it. I just don't want that inside of me. And then Paul, man, I love this passage of scripture because he like fusses at himself. Then he says, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? He's like, I want to do what's right on the inside. I really do. But like, there's this war that's going on between my body and my soul and my spirit. Like, there's this fight that's happening and I keep butting heads with myself. And I'm my own worst enemy. And then he says, wretched man that I am. Who's going to save me from this body of death? I felt that way. I felt that way a lot. Like, God, I want to do what's right. Why do I keep doing stupid things? There was a whole season in my life where things would come out of my mouth, and it's like I was detached from what was happening, and I could hear what was coming out of my mouth, and I'm thinking to myself, why am I saying this? This is really bad. This is not good. I don't even, stop talking. Stop, like this, stop talking. Just be quiet. Just shut up. Don't let those things come out of your mouth. They're going to destroy you. And they did. You ever been there where you're surprised at what you've done and you never really even wanted to do it in the first place? Wow. What does Paul say that is? That's a war between the spirit and the flesh. He writes about it in Romans chapter 8. It's really good. You should read it. There's a war between the spirit. I surrendered my life to you, God. I've surrendered my life. Like, I've received your forgiveness. I've turned from my sin, and I don't want to do that anymore, but I still have this war, and like the things that I don't want to do, I do, and I don't even know what to do. Who's going to save me from this body of death? And if you read on, it says, thanks be to Jesus. It is Jesus that frees us from those cycles and patterns of sin, but the responsibility that we have on our part, if we go back to 2 Corinthians, is to touch no unclean thing, to recognize that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk to you about three toxins today that are evident in our body. And really, I think we're talking about symptoms more than we are the root, and we'll talk about the root in the last three things. But here's the first one, and if you're taking notes, you can jot this down in your notes that you got in your welcome guide. Here's the first one, and let me just say these three are fairly heavy. Here's the first one. It's addiction. It's addiction. Don't, in your mind, relegate addiction to some horrific thing that is only treatable via long-term inpatient care. Really, addiction is this. It's anything I don't want to do that I keep doing. This is addiction. Anything I don't want to do, but I just can't seem to stop doing it. God, I don't like it. That would hit most of us. I'm going to have to raise two hands. What is it that you don't want to do, but you seem to keep doing? Maybe that's an issue, that's a symptom of something that's going on in the inside, that there's a war there between your spirit and your flesh. Well, I don't think I'm addicted. Okay, let me ask you some questions. Do I arrange my schedule around it? You arrange your schedule around it? Do you work to keep it a secret? Are there any secret areas in your life that you're hiding a behavior, you're hiding something because you don't want people to know? Does it isolate you from others? Do people around you say that you have a problem? Stop thinking such big things. How about the small things? How about, I don't know, social media? Can you set it down? Can you put it away? Could you ever even fathom deleting the Facebook and the Twitter and your Twitter account and deleting Snapchat? Could you even think about it? Does it isolate you from people? Let me just go through these now that we have that in mind. Do you have to arrange your schedule around it? Do you find yourself at work going? Do people tell you, you got a problem with that? Well, it's getting quiet, and I don't think this is because this is bad. I think it's because people right now are tweeting that. They're going, Pastor Tom. Romans 6, verses 12 through 14 says, therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. Look at this, and this is the key part. For sin shall not be your master. I don't have a problem. Good. Here's my challenge to you. Lay that down for 6 days. Lay it down for the next 6 days. Lay that down. Can you do it? Is there any area right now that you're thinking, okay, maybe there's something that I'm doing that I really don't want to do, but I can't seem to stop it. Oh, maybe there's a symptom there of the fight between the flesh and the spirit. And what does God call us to do? To lay it down. Give yourselves completely to Him so that sin is not mastering over you. If we go back to Genesis, to Cain and to Abel, and when God spoke to Cain, He said, sin's crouching at your door. You better master it or it's going to devour you. We have a generation of people that are being devoured. If you've ever been to New York City, they have on all of their street posts now, they have pads. Never before have they had pads like this high up on the street post. Do you know why? Bam! People were busting their heads. People were literally having to go get stitches because they were so involved with something that they knew that they should not do, text and drive. Not that I'm throwing any stones here, okay? Text and walk and bust your head on a street post. Maybe we should put that away. And can I remind you of what sin is? I mean, it's very clearly laid out in Scripture, but one of my favorite verses and one of my least favorite verses at the same time is James 4:17. To the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Man, I know I need to stop that. Man, I need to give that up, but like I can't seem to stop it. And like I'm gonna go, and then we make the choice to go back to it because it's like there's a hook in us, because there's a war between the flesh and the spirit. And let me just say, that's where we need to come and allow God by His Spirit to come and bring healing and wholeness, restoration, that we turn from that, we repent from it, we embrace forgiveness. Addiction. Is there any area of addiction in your life? The next one is debauchery. Here's what debauchery is. It's letting your senses call the shots. It's extreme indulgence in sensuality. So when I was growing up as a kid in the 80s, I was a child of the 80s, proudly a child of the 80s. The 80s were fantastic. I think it was just, I loved my childhood. I loved the music. I loved the fashion, as terrible as it was. I loved everything about it. And I very clearly remember the commercials. And if you've never gone back and watched 80s commercials, children of the 80s, you got any other kids of the 80s here? Come on, let me see you. It's a lot of, Go back and watch the commercials. But they had the one, and it would start with just a frying pan, just a black frying pan, up close of a frying pan. And it started with the voiceover going, "This is your brain." That my brain is a frying pan? And then it would say, oh, something so profound. "This is your brain on drugs." And they would crack an egg and put it in. I'm like, that's my brain on drugs? And then, and let me thank you, Nancy Reagan, because I can never forget this.
Just say.
Just say no. Just say no. Listen, as a child of the 80s, I think that there was still a society that said that you live by conviction. There are things that are right. There are things that are wrong. But let me just say that the generation behind us did not come up with a generation, not with a worldview that believed in conviction. Things are right. Things are wrong. That we don't want to give ourselves over to what we feel. We don't want to make all of our decisions based on feelings. We make them on what's smart and what's right. Today's generation is this. You need to be yourself. You just need to, this is their mantra and their motto, just be yourself, just be you. Here's the problem with that. I was a bad me. And left to my own devices, everything like imploded and was destroyed. Haven't you experienced that before? And so I think it's tougher now for kids coming up with a worldview that says, just be yourself. Let you be your inner guide, and you just follow your feelings, and they will take you to a place where you can express the uniqueness of who you are. Okay, here's the problem with that. Like, if I did everything that I felt, I would not be your pastor. I would not be married. It would be, let me just say that feelings are important, and they are fantastic data. But they should never be the benchmark for what we make decisions on in our life. We should make decisions based on conviction that we know something is right, that something is wrong. We should make decisions based on the conviction that we experience. And now remember, conviction is the very thing that God uses to draw you close to Him. And that when we are close to Him, we can hear His voice whisper. And we may have feelings about something, but we trust the voice of the Holy Spirit. We trust Scripture more than we trust our feelings, because we recognize that God's calling is for us to be set apart for His purpose. And my feelings are fickle, and they'll deceive me. I remember a story being told, Kevin, it's about your daddy, old Pastor Glenn Ducharm up at Reeves Bible Church. And he was pushing a construction crew, and one of the boys there was kind of wild and showed up late, and you'd have to know Pastor Glenn. He's from Henderson, so he's old Cajun, and his Cajun way is like, "80 boy, you run into the devil lately?" "No, I haven't." That's because you're going the same direction. Here's what I found: when we turn towards God and we say, "Lord, I'm going to pursue Your purpose for my life," the enemy comes against us. And the primary measure of how he operates is by tweaking on our feelings. He'll tweak on our feelings so we don't feel like doing what's right. Or he'll tweak on our feelings to get us distracted so that we're doing something maybe that's not necessarily bad, but he's got us off just one degree. And if he can keep us going in that direction, off one degree, off one degree, off one degree, off one degree, before we know it, we're way over here, all because we've given in and made our decisions, listen to me, made our decisions based on feelings rather than conviction. That is the essence of debauchery. That's why in Ephesians 5:18, here's what it says. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, instead be filled with the Spirit. What's the point? Like, okay, don't get drunk, but why? Why? Because you lose all inhibition and logic. And the person who can be so refined and so have it together, you get a few drinks in them, stick a microphone and a karaoke machine right next to them. They're dancing, the whole place is going crazy. And we look at that and go, well, that's just fun. That's just fun. That specific situation may be. But we all know people who have given into that and go, well, you know, it lowered my inhibitions and I felt like I could do things that I would otherwise not do. And it leads to the place where we are totally debased and we make stupid decisions. It's like old Boudreaux and Thibodeau. I love the Boudreaux and Thibodeaux of the world. They're great. Oh, Boudreaux and Thibodeau, they were giving themselves to drinking. And if y'all know some good old Cajuns, a lot of them did. I totally grew up in Cajun country and culture and get it. And they were out at the bar one night, and Boudreaux and Thibodeau was drinking. They drank way too much, and they stumble out of the bar, and instead of going right to the parking lot, they go left, and they don't realize it, but they're walking on the railroad tracks. And so after a while, old Boudreaux says, he said, Thibodeau, man, this is the longest staircase I ever been on. And Thibodeau says, oh, Boudreaux, oh, it's not the stairs that are killing me, it's this low handrail. What gets us off base in our life is playing into the hand of the enemy and allowing him to tweak our feelings and make our decision based on that. Stop. Stop. How is this a body issue? Because our body pulls on us, and the enemy uses feelings to be the primary vehicle to tow us out of the path that God has for us. The third thing, body toxins. Number one is addiction. Number two is debauchery. Number three, sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. If we look at this in the New Testament, in the original language in Greek, it's not two words. I think it's translated correctly with sexual immorality, but it's one word. It's pornea. It's where we get the word pornography. But it really encompasses all sexual sin, all sex, not sexual sin, it really encompasses all sex outside of marriage, which is how God defines it. And let me just say that we should embrace God's definition of sexuality, not the government's. And God says from the beginning, one man and one woman. And anything outside of that, whether that's premarital sex, whether that's cohabiting, whether that's homosexuality, I'm not targeting a group here. I'm targeting really all of us who, if we're honest, we understand how the enemy operates in this in some capacity. And what's his purpose and plan? What's the same with addiction, debauchery, with sexual immorality? It's to bring us to the place where we are way far off of God's purpose and plan for our life. And his plan is all, let me just remind you, the plan of the enemy, the devil, is alive and well. His plan is to destroy us. And he uses sexual immorality. He uses pornea to do that. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. It says, don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? I'm just going to pause for just a moment to give you a very brief history lesson. So in Corinth, to whom this letter was written, was one of the temples dedicated to the Roman god of fertility. And the normal act of worship was to go to that temple and hire a prostitute. That was how they worshiped. That was the norm. And so Paul's writing and he says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? To which they would say, wait, what? Don't you know that I'm a member of Christ, like body? And then he uses the word unite. And so often we think, well, yeah. That was just one thing. It was just an isolated incident, not that big of a deal. I was young. It was. I don't even know their name. It was at Panama City Beach. Come on. But here's the truth, is that we can see in Scripture that there is something designed by God in that union, in that uniting, to bring a level of intimacy. And if we think that it's just a simple act that is this one, it's not even that big of a deal. It really is. Because every time you give a piece of yourself away, and that person gives a piece of them to you. Let's read on. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two shall become one flesh. Where is that said? It's in Genesis. That's in Genesis, that God's plan from the beginning was that the purpose of sex was in marriage between one man, one woman. We have the example in Adam and Eve, and I know people go in the Old Testament, what about all of them? King Solomon had like 1,000 concubines, a bunch of wives. And that wasn't God's plan from the beginning, and if you read about Solomon's life and everybody that engaged in polygamy, it never went well. Why? Because it was outside of God's purpose. And so our calling, if we want to live healthy and whole and free from contaminants and toxins in our life, to rid ourselves of addiction, debauchery, sexual immorality. for the two shall become one flesh. God gave that to us in marriage so that there could be a level of intimacy, and really the physical is simply an expression in a healthy relationship. The physical is simply an expression of an internal, emotional, and really even spiritual intimacy that manifests itself in the physical. And it's there to help married couples, which is why it is so often a source of contention. Why? Because the enemy knows that if he can mess us up with addiction, man, I'm doing things I don't even want to do, but I keep doing, I can't seem to get rid of that hook. Man, I'm living by my feelings. I just feel pulled everywhere, and I'm living my life based on how I feel rather than on conviction. And I'm allowing the things in my past to still have hooks in me. Let me just say that God's call to us is to walk in purity in every area of our life. The beautiful thing is that God is all about forgiveness, but not just forgiveness. He's about cleansing, and he's about fresh starts. I remember, and as a kid doing this, but I hear this, I've even heard this with my own kids. They're playing a game, and somebody messes up, and they mess up. And that person will yell two words. They'll be like, oh, I didn't mean to do it like that. That's not fair. That's not right. And then they'll inevitably go, do over, do over. I won't get called a do. Have you ever called a do over when you were a kid? Come on. God gives us a do over. He brings forgiveness and freedom. What is our responsibility? Three things quickly. Number one, get away from it. Get away from it. 1 Thessalonians 4, 4 and 5 says, each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that's holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. We've got to learn how to control our body. And so here's what I'm going to say about that. Stop trying to manage sin and just run from it. Get away from it. What is your it? Maybe there's some flirting going on in your workplace. And you can think, well, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, and then you start having the thoughts of what could be and what that would be like and where you play that out. Let me just say that that is very dangerous. You're playing with fire. Get away. Look at what we see in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. Don't try and manage it. Don't say, well, I'm just going to put up parameters here. No, run from it. If there's an area of darkness in your life, expose it to the light and run from that area. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? Look at this. It's so big. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. When we dishonor God with our body, how do we feel? Yeah, we feel like junk. Let's just take a really practical one that probably all of us from South Louisiana have experienced. I eat way too much because the food is so good. Yeah, I get it. I'm a total foodie. Love it. Don't you feel bad, though, when you eat so much that you physically feel sick? I just can't. That was good, so good, but now it's so bad. In every area of our life, God, I'm just saying, we were not created to consume 5,000 calories in one sitting three times a day. I'm just saying. And at Thanksgiving, we probably have all done that. And we feel terrible about it. The same is true in every area of our life. What are we called to do? Flee, run. Run from sexual immorality. Run from the things that contaminate us. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I am the temple of God. Those are huge revelations. I hope you get them. The next thing, we've got to guard our mind, guard my mind. I need to get away from it, get away from those toxins, get away from that sin. And then I have to guard my mind. Well, the movie's not that bad. There's just one bad part, but it's real fast. Just it's one bad part. It's like my kids calling me up, which happens on the regular. Oh, Derek, I got a game from so-and-so. This is semi-fictional, but it's along the lines of how it's gone down sometimes. I got this game, and it's a really good game. Okay, son, or on the phone, like, I just want to know if I can play the game. Like, well, tell me about the game. Well, it's a game where you have to fight these bad guys, you can win. And, son, how do you win? Like, tell me about this game. You just have to chop the heads off of 40 people. Like, son, you're 7. No. It's just one little bad part. It doesn't even bother me, Dad. See, and there's the problem, isn't it? It doesn't even bother me. It's not that big of a deal. Let me just say, it really can be. And honestly, it really is. Like when we allow things in our lives that we know we shouldn't, we contaminate our soul. Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. What we allow into our life affects us, and we need to guard our minds. We need to guard what we allow into our life, because we say, well, I'm not going to touch that. I'm just going to watch this. I would never do that, but I'm just going to watch this. So the principle is, if you watch it enough, you're going to do it. American Psychological Association. I don't remember the exact number of hours. I need to go refresh in my notes, but it was 400 alone hours. Two people of the opposite sex, they will be involved physically if they're alone for 400 hours within, I want to say it was a stretch of 18 months or something. What's the point? The point is what we allow in. What we allow in unguarded has the potential to destroy us. If you don't think that you can watch something and it not affect you, I mean, every secular psychological study goes against your logic, and they don't even know Jesus. The Bible says that we're to guard our hearts, for out of it flow the issues of life. And the reason that so many people got so many issues is because we're not guarding our heart, we're not guarding our mind, and we're allowing junk in. So here's the thing, you know, I'm not trying to be hard. I'm trying to save your life. And if you think that a little bit of flirting at the office isn't a big deal, yeah, it is. Yeah, well, that's the only job I got. Then move. Move. Get another job. I'd hate to see you go, but let me tell you, it's worth it if your life can be spared. And everything that you built and your family and your relationships are preserved and God's purpose is being fulfilled rather than the destruction of the enemy. Y'all following me? Man, I want us to get to the place where we just run from sin, that we get away from it. That we guard our minds, and then as we wrap up this, we go all in with God. We go all in with God. Romans 6:13 says this, don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. Don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. Give yourselves to God completely. I think many times people will be like, yeah, God, I'm going to get in the waters of your love here. Let me just, man, that's chilly. That is cold. Let me just put one toe in right here. Okay, let me see if I can get the first step up to my ankles. You ever try and jump in get in a pool when it's cold? The absolute worst way to get into a pool is just like, all right, there's the ankle. Let's see if I can get it up to the knees. Knees. And then for the next step, you're just not going there because it's just not going to happen. Because there's only one way to get in a cold pool. How is it? That's it. If you want to do it, it is painful for a split second, and yet it's so refreshing and cleansing afterwards. Go all in with God. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you know that there's areas in your life that God's dealing with today, areas, maybe it's really small, maybe it's not a big deal, but there's some things that you, man, I just keep doing this, I don't want to do it. Let God deal with that. Give that to Him. Maybe there's some areas in your life where you're living by your feelings instead of conviction. Give that to God. Maybe there's some areas of immorality in your life that you think, well nobody sees that. It's not going to hurt anything. Give that to God, because that's a lie of the enemy. Yes, it will. And if you're here and you say, Pastor, I know that there's some things in my life right now that I need to be detoxed from. And that today, I'm choosing to guard my mind. Today, I'm choosing to get away from those things, to run from them, not to try to manage them, but to cut them off and run to God. Today, I'm choosing that. That's you. Just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. Hands all over. I just want to pray for you right now. Father, I just pray. Father, I just pray right now for those that raise their hands. Lord, I just pray that as they say, there's some areas in my body, there's some things and some toxins in my body I need to deal with, that God, that you meet them. And that, Lord, that they hear your voice, and that, God, that they repent and they turn to you. Father, I pray you bring cleansing and healing. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, I just pray that today you give them a do-over. You give them a fresh start. Nobody looking around, there's some of you here that you need to go all in with God. That you've just been kind of putting your foot in the proverbial pool. But today God's saying to you, go all in with me. You've never really done that. You've never fully given 100% of you to him. Today he's speaking to you and he's calling out to you and he's saying, come to me, come to me. If you're here and you've never surrendered 100%, that you've held back, that you've never surrendered 100% of you to God, today he's speaking to you and say, go all in. If that's you, I just want to pray with you right where you are. Just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to go all in. I've not done that. Anybody here say, Pastor, that's me. I need to raise my hand and go 100% all in. Thank you. Thank you. Right over here, I see that. Anybody else over here? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I just want all of us right now, y'all just pray. Just repeat after me. We're going to pray together. Say, dear God, thank you for your love. I choose you. I'm giving you 100% of me. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your cleansing. Jesus, I choose you. I'm yours. Amen. Can we give those folks a hand? That's awesome. Let me just say, it's a huge decision. I don't take that lightly. I know you didn't either, because I was staring at you as you were raising your hand. And I've got, you know, before we go any further, let me do this. We get to see people who have made that decision, and they're going to be baptized in a moment. Are you excited about that? I love it. So baptism, folks, if you're getting baptized, you can be dismissed right now. Y'all can go. If you raised your hand today and you're saying, I'm really choosing God, here it is. You can, on the connection card, you can choose, I have decided, fill that out and check that out where it says I've surrendered my life to Christ. And you can put off to the side 100%. Maybe you've renewed your commitment to Christ. Check that off and let us know. Or that you feel like, I really need to be baptized. Let us know. And we'll connect you with people and resources so that you have the opportunity to grow as much as you want. My heart as a pastor is to see you encounter God, leave here encouraged and empowered to walk out the purpose that he has for you. As our baptism folks are getting ready, we're going to receive offering in just a moment. So if you want to go ahead and get that out. By the way, if you filled that card out, you can drop that in the offering bucket. If you're giving today, there's a tile above my head that shows how you can give. I'll say thank you, guys. Almost 50% of our people, by the way, give online now. So thank you for that. It's really convenient. Also, really soon we'll have an even more convenient way than you having to log into a website to do that, to be able to do that from your mobile device very simply. I'm excited about that. But I just want to say the best is yet to come. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your heart here. I'm constantly just humbled by what God's doing, and he's using you guys. Thank you. So ushers, why don't you come? We're going to pray. There'll be a video that's shown, and then we're going to see some people be baptized. Father, thank you for this time this morning. I just pray a blessing on everyone here. God, I just pray that as they turn their hearts towards you, they can sense your hand reaching out to them. Lord, I just pray that you bring them to the place that you created them to live at, a place of purpose, a place of life and joy and love. Be with them, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
With every step towards the water, my anticipation grew. I felt excited. A little nervous, in fact, but a good nervous. As I stepped into the water and became still, I knew that after